Now, y'all know I love McDonald's for a quick meal, especially if I'm out and about with the boys and need something to eat. I like food, and y'all know I like saving money, too. Did you know that you can save money with deals in the McDonald's app every single day? Yeah, you heard that right. There's a deal every day in the app. So if you are an avid McDonald's goer like me, you'll find the best value for your buck by using the app. One of my favorite things about the app is the ability to order ahead. So let's say I'm on the road, just picked up Axel from school, and know I promised him some McDonald's fries and a sundae, but don't want to have to wait in that long line. I open up the app and just place my order there. Then I can walk in and pick up my order when it's ready, no wait needed, especially if I time it right. And I love that you can also get a bunch of deals in the app as well. I just logged in and can get a free Big Mac with a minimum purchase of $1. But check it every day because the deals are always changing. Plus, make sure to share your birthday so McDonald's can celebrate with you with something special. Dream drivers save money with the McDonald's app. Nope, you must opt into rewards.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins the national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Good morning on a travel day. Happy Thursday, everybody, and welcome into Halftime here on ESPN Arkansas and hitthatline.com. I'm Phil Elson, my friend Matt Jones. The C-Unit, Kristen Johnston, is producing today, and we got you for the next 3 hours, although I've only got you for me for pretty much the next hour and 45 minutes before Matt Jones will take over. Matt, good morning. Thursdays are kind of turning into a travel Thursday now. I've taken up residence inside my own personal boardroom at the Regional Jet Center by XNA National Airport. They don't make me rent this space out. They don't ask for any money for it. Nobody was in here when I got here, so I don't have to elbow anybody out of the way. You could have a nice meeting in here, truthfully. So it's actually okay for hosting a radio show while I get to watch airplanes take off on the tarmac out there.
Yeah, that's kind of a secret meeting spot right there in the cut, so to speak. I like it.
A little bit. I wouldn't say this would be... this isn't where you would hire or fire anybody. It's not like a grandiose of enough room. There's a bigger boardroom just a few steps to my right. That's where we'd have to sit down and have a very serious talk about some. This would be more of a place, I think, that you might just kind of have a team meeting, a little team lunch before you get on an airplane and fly to Columbia, South Carolina, which is what I'm doing with the baseball team today. And they're getting out about 1:30. Because it's a little longer of a flight than it was last week to Tuscaloosa. So I got to get out a little bit earlier, too. And that's okay. That's all right. Great game yesterday. We had a couple of really good ball games at Baum Walker. Hogs winning 9-8 on Tuesday, 5-4 yesterday. Matt, I feel like a team that's used to playing in close baseball games says something to me, especially if you're used to winning those baseball games. I think that's the case in any sport. You know, a basketball game that's routinely decided by, well, I don't know if you go by the final score sometimes because the free throws can make things a little bit different. But let's just say when you get, about 5-point differential within the last 5 minutes or so, a football game that's within one score, you play a baseball game that's within two runs, you're playing a really tight game. That's what this team is used to, and they're winning those games.
Yeah, I mean, it's in being in the moment, learning from it. I put it the same thing in golf. You know, if you're tied going into 18, you know, you gotta pay attention to detail. That's for sure. And you revert back to your practice habits. That's why you want to practice good and get good practice habits, because when it gets down to it and you got to make a play and your body's tired, long season, you're grinding. You go to your natural instincts, and this team, man, they fight. They don't have a lot of quit in them, and it's pretty fun to watch.
Well, I really do think that Texas, I'm not telling you that you'll face Texas Tech in the postseason, but I really could see this. I could see Texas Tech being sent to a Fayetteville regional as either probably a three seed.
Well, TCU,
one of
last
those teams to get in.
Would
That's
it
right.
be similar? Because TCU last year was sent up here. Did we play TCU last year in the regular season?
No, did not play them last year. And I remember, you know, 2018, the last time that Texas Tech visited Baum Walker, the teams ended up matching in the College World Series, too. And Arkansas sent them to the loser's bracket. So I don't know if this is an Omaha-worthy Texas Tech team, because I don't trust them on the road. And it doesn't, to me, look like they'll be getting home games in the postseason. But I do think they'll make the postseason. And I really wouldn't be surprised if they get sent to Baum Walker. But we've got some evidence of how Arkansas is playing in these tank games. And some of the other teams that are that they're fighting in the standings, both in terms of the division and the overall league standings, are not playing in close ball games. And when it comes to how you play close games, usually great pitching has a lot to do with it. And we'll see, because this weekend you're playing a pretty good South Carolina team at home, or in their home. And I think you're probably going to see three close games again, just like you did against Alabama, although, you know, the last game, 5-0, I guess you'd say a 5-run deficit is not very close. All right, I got to get into it's just rumor right now about the possibility that Jerry Jones is willing to pay freshmen twice as much as they would get at Kentucky. This is a quarter. So there's a few things to lop onto this. Anytime that a rumor like this gets started, you have to know or wonder, who is the source? Do you trust the source? And what is the purpose of what this source is trying to do? This came from a Discord broadcast, which I don't know Discord very well. I don't know if that's kind of like Twitch, which was designed for video gamers to kind of live stream their video games. I don't know what Discord is necessarily, but it sounds like it would be something like that. But this fellow Trilly Donovan, and again, I don't even know if that's this person's real name or if it's just a, as he would call it on his Twitter bio, a ubiquitous and mysterious burner account. So probably not the person's name. Starts this rumor on a Discord yesterday, and a gentleman named Eli Hershkovich, who covers sports betting and for a couple of websites, is the one who just kind of retweets it, and now it's kind of gone on fire. So I don't know what to believe about this. It almost sounds like, if you're an Arkansas fan, that's too good to be true. That the most famous alum still involved in sports, who's given plenty of money to the university for athletics purposes, is now interested in paying basketball players twice what they would get to go to Kentucky. Matt, it really sounds like it's too good to be true. And truthfully, maybe Jerry Jones had something to do with Cal coming to Arkansas, but I would just expect that if he's putting his best foot forward with money, it might be for the sport that he lives and breathes, which would be football. And why would it be basketball first?
Well, he probably has a better chance to win a national championship in basketball at Arkansas than he does a Super Bowl at Dallas. You know, if you got Dak Prescott as your QB, Mike McCarthy there. I mean, you're looking at it. Dallas has to make a couple moves. They've kind of been unlucky with some injuries. That defense is just superb. The basketball thing, Phil, it's just such an unregulated market right now. It's really is the Wild West. I mean, it's the frontier. Everybody, we're learning, and it's going, and there's no rules. And you don't even have to say that. That's the thing. It's like, well, how do we know that he's offering double? I didn't get to do. How do you get to see what he made? Because Like that kid from Arizona came out real quick on the show. Oh, he's in the portal. He might visit Arkansas. And then before the show's over, he signed with Indiana. And it said his tag was 1.2. But how do we know that it's 1?
How do you know?
We don't have it. We don't.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it even goes to the idea of what people think a student athlete, I'm still going to use that term for the time being, student athlete is making in terms of NIL, and you end up going by what On3 says the valuation for this athlete is, which isn't what that person is making at all.
What did Ryan, Coach Ryan Day at Ohio State come out and say? And I felt like he was saying it as a point of saying maybe just throwing smoke or whatever. He's like, well, that's a 1.5 evaluation. That's how much quarterbacks cost. So now every team has to pay 1.5 to get a competent quarterback.
Yeah, the valuation isn't necessarily the reality. But that also goes to the idea that the rumor that's thrown around here by somebody that literally calls himself a ubiquitous and mysterious burner account, you could just be throwing something out into the ether to just have a little fun with it and see what the reaction is on social media, which the Kentucky fans are melting down, you know, with the thought of this. And I think generally Razorback fans are a little bit skeptical as to whether or not this is true. I'm skeptical about it as well. But it is kind of fun to watch the Kentucky fans melt down a little bit. I got to be honest about that. Yeah. You know, and the idea, hey, you can't compare the way Jerry Jones is trying to build the Dallas Cowboys to the way that you can build a college athletics program now, because there are no multi-year deals anymore. Everything is a one-year thing. The unlimited transfer rule was approved yesterday, not just for graduates. Now it's undergrads. You can transfer every single year that you are eligible as an undergrad. So, I mean, how many teams could you play for if you get a medical red shirt? I mean, if you transfer one time per year, you could play for 6 teams in 6 years. Literally, you can do that. With Jones, hey, maybe he would like to dump Dak Prescott by now, but figures, oh, you know, he's got the roster bonus already. You know, can't throw the bad money after the bad money. Got to wait for the one more year because this is his last year quarterbacking Dallas. But if he could, maybe he'd have cut ties by now because there's no money because of the money that's attached to it. But with building a basketball team, 1 year at a time, if it doesn't work this year, maybe you can throw more money at somebody next year.
Yeah. It's you know, I'm a Dak Prescott fan. He needs some more help. He's a B quarterback. He's a B plus on his best day. So you got to get him some help. And that's to your point, Phil. It's, well, if you have Dak, is there anybody on the market that's better than Dak right now? I don't know. The market's kind of, Kirk Cousins, I believe he signed somewhere. So we'll see.
Well, but yeah, building a pro football team and building a college basketball team, quite different. And I just would expect, I don't know. I never connect Jerry Jones to basketball. I don't connect him to baseball. I don't connect him to anything going on with Razorback Athletics outside of football. And I know that the Jones Center that you know, he and his wife basically donated all the money for, pretty much goes to all the athletes. But I, you know, there's the connection to football, and I would just expect that the money would end up going there first. But it's fun, the rumors. The rumors are fun with this. And right now, you haven't had anybody commit since Zvonimir Ivicic yesterday.
Big Z.
Maybe something happens today. I guess I would have expected that not like the dam breaking, but a little bit of a trickle with one followed by another, maybe followed by another. So a little quiet yesterday outside of the announcement that Ivicic is going to be a Razorback coming from the communications department. And that comes before any announcement about the coaching staff, which yeah, I guess I would have thought that it might happen about a week or so after Cal's announcement becomes official, because there is a posting process for all of the assistant coaching jobs, and that takes some time. And you know, there are I guess background checks and all the things you got to do to be employed by somebody. But you know, it's been over a week, so just kind of thought that there'd be at least a couple of the coaches that would come together by now.
He's like John Helm in Mad Men, you know, at his final job he gets. He just goes out west as soon as he gets the job. Like, they go into the meeting. He's like, no, I'm going to go out west for 3 weeks. We'll figure it out when I get. And the other guy's like, he does that sometimes. We'll figure it out later.
Well, Cal went out recruiting. He went out alone. He might have some helpers with him, but they're not official assistant coaches for Arkansas basketball yet.
He's dapper, Cal. You know, he looks the part.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Emotional win last night, quick turnaround, guys go to class, you know, come back, we eat at noon and here we go, and played a few different guys today and give them another opportunity or their first opportunity this week and pitched some different guys. And again, we got behind, fought back, and we could have just kind of said, okay, well, we got ours yesterday. It's not going our way, but yeah, you know, they just kept swinging and getting on base and grinded out some at-bats, got some walks, hit by pitch, and manufactured that run there in the eighth, and that ended up being the big run. We throw a lot of strikes, and we don't make too many mistakes in the field. You know, really, we didn't make one today, except we just didn't catch a pop-up. It wasn't like we booted a double play ball that cost us a couple runs, but, you know, when we didn't catch the ball, it cost us a run. And, you know, we've been able to stay away from, you know, giving up, you know, the crooked ending, the crooked number, so to speak. You know, we hold them to one. That's why we've been able to stay in games, and then we find ways to win it, whether it's with a big hit or a bunt or, you know, just manufacturing or whatever. We have an interesting offense. You know, they can be really good sometimes, and sometimes it's like it's quick innings, and it's, you know, it can be frustrating. What we do because we can pitch is we stay close and we were confident, and then, you know, we've just found ways to win. When you don't screw up a lot, you're going to win those one-run games.
Steve Van Horn yesterday with talk on a 5-4 win and some of the things it took to get there. And then the overall, you know, kind of like ethos of this baseball team and why they're playing and winning so many close games. The pitching is the reason why. Fielding will always keep you in a ball game if it's combined with pitching to provide stellar defense. And I think this team has that. And when you hear the word interesting, Matt, interesting to say the least, because usually a lot of times that there's a negative perception that goes along with interesting, especially the way that he said it, which means some inconsistencies, which definitely is a thing. And I'll be very interested to see what the outfield alignment looks like in South Carolina this weekend. Will it look like it did these last two games? We've seen Peyton Holt playing center field. That is an offensive-minded move. Highly offensively minded move. He is also, I think he can play some center field. I liked how he looked in left. Didn't look like he was tested all that much in center, but in late game situations, you know, when you're used to playing in tight ball games, if you have a one run lead in the seventh inning and a Ty Wilmsmeyer doesn't start the game in the outfield, well, he's coming off the bench to pinch run, and then he's going to go take over in center where he can save you a run like he did on Tuesday. There've been a lot of people texting in this last week about who should be playing in the outfield and that maybe Will Edmondson plays in center instead of Wilmsmeyer. I think the guy that you're really looking at right now is Holt in center field because of his ability to hit. And then he can move to left field once Wilmsmeyer takes over in center. And then you might change who your corner outfield is at that point. The next thing to look at is whether or not Kendall Diggs is healthy is not the right word, just comfortable enough to get out there and have a good workout today when they get to Columbia. Should be an early evening workout pre-series. He's got a shoulder that he jammed. I think it happened sliding into home plate about a month ago or a little more. And it's not bad enough for him to just have to miss a lot of time, but I think they just wanted it to chill, gave it anti-inflammatories, and if he's comfortable and he starts hitting, well, then things change, because he's the kind of batter that can change a lot of things as far as just run production and home run hitting. But to Dave's point, a team that's so close, that's just used to playing in close games, I just wonder if this has anything to do later in the year. Now, Arkansas plays Kentucky and plays Texas A&M. Those are the two teams that you're really battling with for the division lead, in which Arkansas leads A&M by one game, or the overall SEC lead, in which Kentucky's got a two-game lead. The Hogs have played 17 games, decided by two runs or less. Okay, they've played 36 games, 17 of them by two runs or less. They're 14-3 in those games. A&M has also lost three games. In the same situation, Kentucky also has lost three games in those same situations, but they've played far fewer games decided by two runs or less than Arkansas. So they're just not used to those late pressure cooker moments. I don't think that their relief pitchers are as used to the tight, intense late game situation, seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning, that the Arkansas relievers are used to. Now, some people might look at that and say, well, it's going to wear them down. That's going to wear these pitchers down, both emotionally, mentally, and physically. The stressful innings are supposed to take a little bit more out of you. Nobody's being overworked. Some might look at McIntyre, and maybe that's something to watch for, but I don't know if I'd say he's being overworked. They're just pitchers that are used to executing big pitches in pressure cooker moments. And look, a Kentucky pitcher or an A&M pitcher might have to execute a pitch with an 8-run lead in the 7th or 8th inning, and that's just fine. But it feels different, much different, when it's a 1-run game or a 2-run game. And I don't know, maybe I'm just projecting optimism on top of what I'm watching right now, Matt, because you could also look at it that A&M and Kentucky are blowing the doors off of everybody, and Arkansas is not. But I just don't think you blow the doors off this Arkansas pitching staff. They'll keep it close.
Yeah, learning how to win kind of reminds me of Virginia basketball. They won a national title. Is that not correct? Has Virginia not won a national? I mean, they play a lot of games like that. I got a question for you, Phil, and it might be a dumb question, but you know I got you here, so why not?
I can give a dumb answer too.
Well, no, it's a real question though. But so golfers, like, they'll change putters before a tournament. You know, something's going on. They'll use the same putter for 7 years and they'll change putters. You'll see it. The batters, do they have one bat they use all year, or do they have multiple bats? Maybe if they get in a slump, that they go back and say, "All right, I'll try this bat, or I'll do a different bat." Or are they just go, is it one bat and that's it?
No, they each of them have at least a couple of them. Like, Aloy's got a new bat that came in that looks like it's all flowery, kind of like Hawaiian flowers on it.
Will it weigh the same? Are the dimensions the same? Is it a different bat for a different scenario?
There might be a slight differential in the build of each of these bats, but generally batters like to use the same weight, the same length. I know guys in the minor leagues that might, you depending on the kind of batter that they're facing, they might have changed by half an ounce or something like that. But they also had more bats to choose from, I think. You know, plus the wooden bats, and they just kind of kept coming to them in some situations. These guys, I've seen them. You'll see them when they get off the airplane, and you know all of the equipment is being sent through to them, and a lot of the guys carry a bat with them in their baseball bag, and then there might be another that's in the bat bag, and they're standing there waiting for all the bags to come out, and they're like comparing bats with each other. Might not be the game bat that they use, so they got a couple of them, and maybe you change the bat that you use depending on you know, if you, yeah, feel, just, if I, you feel you need to get it around a little quicker, half an ounce makes a difference.
That's what that was my next point. I was gonna say if you're used to having a heavy bat and for some reason you take an ounce off, then it is getting around a little quicker, and that could change it up. But I mean, just anytime you're going through a slump, you don't want to have to go the Jason Giambi route. You know, you don't want to have to go put on the golden underwears like and to try to snap out of it. You want to have a different route, right?
No, that was not Giambi's underwear, right? It was not his.
It brought him out of the slump, though. You know, you got to do what you got to do to get out of the slump.
Whatever works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know that that Bull Durham comes from real truth in the world of baseball. Nuke LaLoosh wearing women's underwear on the mound. Now, I don't have personal experience of seeing like something like that happen, but come on. These are ball players. They're around each other for 5 to 6 months out of the year, and they're playing every day. They got to do stuff like that to keep themselves sane, or just appreciate that they're literally maybe a little bit insane. That's what Bubba would call himself. But Bubba's one with his bat all the time. He's got one up there with him all the time. He's holding that thing in the middle of the game all the time. I mean, they literally have a relationship with their bats. Some guys could sleep with a bat or sleep, you know, put it under the bed and everything. I mean, if you become one with the bat, they'll have a funeral for the thing when it breaks. I've seen a funeral for a bat. It was just a joke, but the thing did get buried into the ground, and it's, you know, probably decomposed by now, I would hope, because it was made of wood. The metal ones may take a little bit more time.
Hickey and Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hole Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
BetOnline is the number one source for all your sports betting this season and every season. You'll find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends all at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. The fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Go to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts.
Bob, good afternoon. Always appreciate you coming on Halftime today. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. Ready to get up into the friendly skies. Headed to South Carolina with Arkansas baseball. Used to this team playing tight ball games. Very used. Dave talked about it yesterday. There have been some Arkansas teams that just blow the doors off opponents. 2018, they did that a lot. 2019, they did that a lot. They even did a little more in 2021. People get nervous, I think, in college baseball when they don't see their team blowing the doors off of an opponent. When you see other teams like A&M and Kentucky that are, I just know that this team's pitching brings those other teams down a little closer to their level of where they're used to score being. And I like that this team is built to win the close games.
Yeah, I think that's a plus, too. I mean, if I'm a fan, I'd be worried if my team didn't, you know, win close games or weren't involved in close games. You think, well, at some point, especially in the postseason, there's probably going to be some close games. So, you know, you want them to feel like they're confident in that situation. They've you know, Arkansas had a lot of comeback wins. Like you said, the bullpen's been lights out. Most of the time had a couple rough games here and there, but Texas Tech's a quality team. I guess they're not ranked. That's a good Big 12 team. Obviously, when they opened up in Arlington, I think all those games were one-run games. They beat LSU in a one-run game. And I think we added up and Arkansas 7-2 in one-run games. So that's, that's just under 800 winning percentage in one-run games. And most of them have been against good, you know, good teams in the SEC or Power Five teams, like they played Oklahoma State, Michigan, and Texas Tech, and I can't remember who the other team was. Oregon State. How could I forget Oregon State? But I think that's a plus. I remember thinking UConn. I'm no UConn fan, but I remember thinking, man, those guys are going to get in a close game, and they're not going to know what to do. And of course, Alabama played them kind of close in the Final Four, but it never really mattered to UConn. But I think it's a plus. Arkansas has a good record in close games, and it's playing some close games.
Bob, let's move over to basketball here. did you think that there'd be some announcements about an assistant coaching staff yet? And, you know, I mean, look, you're dealing with people, in Cal's case, that some of them had been in Kentucky for nearly the same amount of time that he was there. So, it's a bigger decision than just saying, well, I'm going to follow Cal. You might like where they are. But are you surprised there hasn't been any announcement about an assistant staff?
I guess a little bit, but, you know, CBS, Matt Norlander, I believe, was reported that several of his coaches at Kentucky were following him, and most of the media, myself included, followed up citing that CBS report. I mean, sometimes the way things happen at a university, I mean, a state university, I think anything that involves state government, so to speak, the wheels can move pretty slow, and there's a lot of, things in place where you have to wait X number of days and have a job advertised or whatever the heck is going on. But, I think he's basically got his staff. He knows who he wants to hire, who's going to come, I would imagine, anyway. And I think there's five guys out there on the recruiting trail. We filed the FOIs to get the contracts and things, and that hasn't been released yet. I guess the paperwork still needs to be done, but I mean, I don't think John Calipari's out there, recruiting by himself. I think he's got, folks helping him, and he's going to bring a lot of his Kentucky people with him, which is understandable. Most coaches do bring their staffs with him, not always, but sometimes a guy might want to stay or take advantage of another opportunity. But I would expect most, if not all, his staff to come with him because, those are guys he obviously believes in and trust and vice, they trust him and they work together. So, just because it hasn't been announced, a little bit of a surprise, but I think a lot of that's just paperwork, formality, red tape, whatever you want to call it.
Hey, Bob, the NBA playoffs are here. Are you going to be interested? Are you checking it out? Do you have, I know you got a Major League Baseball team. Do you have a squad you kind of go for in the NBA?
I get excited about the playoffs. The regular season, not so much.
Right, but, same.
When I was a kid, I lived in Wisconsin for a couple of years. That's where I became a fan of Green Bay. And that's when the Bucks had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was initially Lou Alcindor, then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And, of course, the Bucks were really good. They had Oscar Robertson at the end of his career when he was still a great player. So kind of a Bucks fan now. Bobby Portis.
Sidney Moncrief.
Sidney Moncrief. So I guess I kind of like the Bucks. I don't nowhere near the devotion I have to the Tigers and the Packers, but yeah, kind of a Bucks guy. I kind of like the fact Milwaukee's a blue collar city, hardworking people. I'm not saying there aren't nice restaurants here or whatever, but I think it's a kind of like Pittsburgh, right? So I always think of Milwaukee as a hardworking city, and it's not flashy like New York or L.A. or something, or even Chicago. They're kind of they're just north of Chicago. It's amazing how close Milwaukee is to Chicago. I guess if I'm rooting for somebody, I'd be rooting for the Bucks.
So you're a big Jack Sikma fan then?
Well, yeah, Jack Sikma. He was with Seattle, the Supersonics, and then later on, I think they're just the Sonics, and now unfortunately Seattle doesn't have a team, but hopefully they'll get one back. Oklahoma City franchise used to be in Seattle, but I'll throw some names: Junior Bridgman, John McLaughlin, Curtis. You remember Curtis Perry?
I don't remember that name. No.
Well, the reason I remember Curtis Perry is he played at what was then known as Southwest Missouri State, with now Missouri State. They were in a league called the MIAA, the Missouri Intercollegiate Athletic Association, the D2. I grew up in Cape Girardeau, which was where Southeast Missouri State was. And I saw Curtis Perry play in person several times when Southwest would come to play SEMA. That was a big rivalry back then. And then he was an NBA. He was, I think, believe a starter on the Bucks championship team in 72 or 74, whatever year they won. I think it was 72. Might have been 71. Anyway, sorry, I digress. But anyway, it was cool to see a guy that I actually saw play in person, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, playing in the NBA with Oscar Robertson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So there's a quick history lesson.
Hey, Bob, I know you. There's two guys going into the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame that you covered. You probably covered more than these two, but two of these guys were my teammates, and Ryan Mallett also. But Peyton Hillis and Jason Peters going into the Hall of Fame. Just tell me one little story about both those guys. I was telling Phil how man, both those cats could catch anything. I mean, just some of the best, just natural hands, you know, super talented guys. But just something maybe you remember while you were covering them up there.
Well, yeah, of course, we talked about Jason the other day, and I guess what I remember about him were those big catches he made in those seven overtime games. He had, when you guys won at Kentucky, I think it was in 03, he had a touchdown pass that I think tied it 50-50, and then he had a two-point conversion for the last 2 points, and I think it was 71-63, which I know is a basketball score, but and then in the Ole Miss game in 01, he caught a two-point conversion in one of the overtimes, so... You know, he's obviously had a carved out a Hall of Fame career as an offensive tackle, but he was so nimble, good on his feet, good hands. You know, it's still hard to believe he wasn't drafted. He's got to be one of the, if not the greatest free agent in the history of the game. I know he's had some other great free agents. And, of course, my guy, Bart Starr, was a 17th round draft pick, so nowadays he would have been a free agent. But, yeah, just Jason coming up clutch and just the he was so athletic for his size. And then Peyton maybe tends to get, you know, he was in that same backfield with Darren McFadden and Felix Jones. So maybe, I don't know if he gets overlooked, but once he got in the NFL, I mean, he starred with Cleveland and some other teams, and he was on the cover of Madden. But I guess I remember Peyton had a lot of big plays, but one that stands out to me was the turned out to be Houston Nutt's last game at Arkansas. The triple overtime win at LSU in 06, I think it was 50-48. And, of course, people remember the plays Darren made, but Peyton made some big plays in that game, too, whether it was running or catching the ball. And that was just such an incredible backfield. I think you had three future NFL players and guys that all had, you know, carved out good careers. And, and Peyton, I remember him as a punt returner, too. He was a guy, great hands, you know, really good runner, really probably an underrated receiver. And he carved out a really nice career, too, obviously, because he's going to the Hall of Fame.
This is it's a big question. I'm not going to put it in the form of a statement here. When you look at the length of Jason Peters' career, the positions that he's played, the fact, you know, he's won a Super Bowl. The fact that he's going to be got to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And this isn't to take away from any other accomplishments from a former Razorback, but Bobby, I mean, you could make a case that Jason Peters had the greatest professional career of any former Razorback athlete, at least when it comes to football and baseball, basketball. You know, maybe in certain Olympic sports you can make a case differently, but I think in the team sports it's Jason Peters.
Yeah, just the longevity, you know, the quality and the quantity, right? I mean, playing if he chooses to play again, which I gotta believe there'll be somebody that would like to have him on their roster. I mean, he's still an effective player. I think he played in 8 games last year for the Seahawks, and there were some games where he played like 55-plus snaps, and that's a lot of snaps for anybody, but especially a 42-year-old offensive tackle, still playing at a high level. And then he's been three times first-team All-Pro. That means you were the best. He made the NFL All-Decade team as picked by the Pro Football Hall of Fame and NFL.com. So he was the best player for a decade, and that was 5 years ago. So since being named one of the two best offensive tackles, I honestly don't know who the other one was that decade. I have to look that up.
Maybe your boy from Cleveland.
The guy that played
Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas. Yeah, thanks. You know, I say 5 years beyond that, he's still playing, and he's obviously a great locker room guy. You know, unfortunately, the year that the Eagles won the Super Bowl, he was hurt that year and missed several games. But I can't think of the guy's name, but the guy that replaced him, I read he took him under his wing and helped tutor him, you know, and all that. And I think he's a great mentor for young players, maybe older players, too. And just a great guy to have in your locker room, I would think. Especially when you play for different teams, that means people want you. I remember talking to Joe Klein about Joe Johnson about this. They both did, but Joe Johnson played for several NBA teams, and Joe Klein making the point that when people keep wanting to add you to their team, that means you're a good locker room presence. And you don't make, you know, I mean, you never hear about Jason Peters just creating problems, at least I don't recall that. Yeah, I think he's a really great teammate. He's very well respected. by coaches and players alike. And yeah, he's had a remarkable career. I guess maybe the only guy, and I don't know exactly how many years ago, you think of Lance Allworth, who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and you know, along with Dan Hampton. But yeah, Jason Peters is right up there with. I mean, he's up there with the greats in the NFL, so he's definitely up there with the great Razorbacks who play in the NFL. And I'd say the only guys you could probably put in a category by themselves would be Jason Peters, Lance Allworth, and Dan Hampton.
Bob, we'll leave it there. I appreciate your time, as always. Thank you very much.
Okay, have a safe trip to Columbia. Too bad they don't have a Shakespeare's Pizza in that Columbia.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I'm sure there's some decent pizza in Columbia, but it is not Shakespeare's. No doubt about that.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Town Russellville.
Try the new Traveler Whiskey, a Chris Stapleton and Harlan Wheatley collaboration. A great buy. Also, Hard Truth, Sweet Mash, Bourbon, and Rye are available. Only at Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
Back on Halftime here, where we can have a funeral for the worst basketball floor that's ever been introduced. The Oregon Deep in the Woods court is being resurfaced, and I don't think they're going to have the same design that they had on there, where it was supposed to look like a forest, and I just could not watch. You'd turn on an Oregon basketball game if it was being played at Matthew Knight Arena, and it was headache-causing. It was miserable to try to watch a game with Oregon on television. So maybe now, the next time the Ducks are on TV, you know, when they go all the way to play Rutgers in New Jersey, or vice versa, Rutgers traveling out there, might actually be able to keep the game on this time.
Maybe they'll go old school Boston Celtics, get the parquet floor out, and just keep it clean, nice line, stream, and be able to go out there and play the game out there. You couldn't even tell where a 3-point line was some of the areas. You got just, you know, a colors coexisting.
It looked like the parquet floor had gotten sick and thrown up.
I was going to say, you said a funeral. That looked like the remnants of the funeral, the remains. Yeah.
Yeah, just I don't want to. I don't. You shouldn't have a headache causing field. You know, I do like when there are designs that are mowed into a baseball park, but even then, it can just be a little bit distracting. Not the lines necessarily, but when they're intertwined to look like it's almost like a checkerboard. I've seen this. They've done that in some spots before, and I don't know. It's a little much. I do like just a clean court.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about? Would you be in favor, Matt? I don't know if you and I have ever talked about this. There's always a call to put the slobber hog back on the middle of the court at Bud Walton Arena. Now, they've added it over on the sides where the Nolan Richardson autograph is, where it says Nolan Richardson Court. Some people really want the slobber hog back on the Bud Walton Arena floor. I don't know if I feel one way or the other about it. I've wondered if you did.
I like the Slobber Hog. Yeah, I like there. You know, you'll get these brochures or you'll see clips, and they'll say this is what the hog was like in the 70s. This is what it was like in the 60s, and they kind of change them a little bit here and there. There's 70s, 80s hog. I thought looked pretty sharp. Yeah, but the Slobber Hog getting it. I like it.
TCU has a frog skin court. I don't necessarily know if that's that, if it's quite as headache inducing as
you could have the
deal in the woods.
You could change it each year. I mean, one year you could have the A with the hog leaning up against it. You know, that would be pretty sick.
I've always liked that logo.
Yeah.
Old school logo.
Yeah, have the A with the hog chilling, you know.
It's a sweater hog leaning up against the A, right?
Hey, man, you know, we came here to win.
877-377-6963 is our McLarty Daniel hotline. The Pirates have fallen back to earth, Matt. We're not even into the last week of April, and they're on a three-game losing streak, so it's like my self-fulfilling prophecy is starting to happen. They've lost three in a row to the Mets, and the Mets really aren't any good. I mean, they're just sort of okay, which I think is what the Pirates might be. And you know what? Just okay might actually be just okay with me instead of sucking. That's the standards that I'm holding them to now. Just don't suck.
You got to have expectations to lower them.
Good point.
11-8, man. They're getting it right now. They're 4-6 in their last 10.
They've lost 6 of the last 8 games.
Yeah.
A sweep at New York. Maybe they're just a team that plays well at home. I don't know.
Redbirds, man. I'm glad. That's a tough division right there. You got to think Milwaukee comes back a little bit. Is Milwaukee a type of team? I mean, I don't know how much you've delved into to major leagues right now.
Milwaukee
you're busy. Are they a team that can win that division?
That's a division that probably, you know, I wouldn't put St. Louis to the point where they can win it, but it feels like it's almost anybody could win that division. See, Zach is texting me now. He's saying he's calling them my Pirates. You just became a fan. You just became, literally, it was like, when was the text? This was like 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago, Zach asked whether or not he should be a fan of the Pirates because he couldn't deal with the Red Sox. Which I don't blame him, because the Red Sox are kind of miserable, and Devers is undergoing an MRI. You got Tyler O'Neill to the injured list. It's just a miserable situation in Boston, and he's calling them my Pirates. Just wait. I mean, if you're still rooting for them by the time the trade deadline comes around, maybe get yourself a suite at PNC Park. You could do the show from there. Why not? Oh, let's see. Andy in Mountain Home says the UCA football field is the worst thing he's ever seen on television. You seen the stripes, the striped football field in Conway?
Oh, it's no good. First of all, it's turf, but get out of here. Purple, gray, then you got two different uniforms coming at you. It's like, hey, what's going on here?
Where's the school? Is it Eastern Washington? Is it Eastern Washington that has the red football field? Boise State's famous for the blue football field. Red, I don't know. See, part of this is, you know what? This looks okay when you're standing there.
Notre Dame is the way to do it. I mean, they got the natural grass, a little bit thicker, just the white lines in the back. It's just streamlined, just easy. It's aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, well, the end zones are just diagonal lines in the end zone.
That's what I mean, right? Yeah.
I like that one a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's like I think folks who are doing that, who put that on a court like what Oregon did or the stripes in UCA, they're not worried about the television audience. They said, look at how cool this looks like when we're standing here in the arena or standing on the sidelines or something. But the first football game I ever did play-by-play for was a Henderson State at UCA game on the stripes. And that would have been, 14 years ago, 13 years ago, and I still have a headache from that. So it hurt me then. Yeah, it's, you got to figure about how it looks on television. That's too bad. Coastal Carolina's field. Now, I'm not sure about what Coastal Carolina's field looks like. We got that from Ron in Springdale. So, I mean, I guess there's a lot of courts and a lot of fields that
is there a
are
baseball,
headache-inducing.
Is there a baseball field in the SEC that's like that? Do we have any gimmicky stuff in the SEC?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. The only gimmick to me are the fields that are all turf, where there's no dirt at all, not a speck of anything natural. like Kentucky. That, but you know what? That also, and this will be interesting because it kind of goes to the conversation about Whitey Ball that we've been talking about the last couple of days. You know, a reason that Whitey Herzog managed baseball the way that he managed it. Chuck had brought it up the other day. I mean, you had cookie cutter stadiums all across the National League that had hard artificial surfaces on it, and so you could just book absolutely speed, nothing to slow you down. Kentucky has an all artificial surface field. Pitcher's mound is artificial. Baselines are artificial. Everything is. And they've built that team the same way that Whitey Herzog would build the Cardinals, through exactly that. So it's like they're playing Whitey ball. And you better field well and you better hold runners on. And they run roughshod over teams.
How have we been running the bases, Phil? Have we been stealing bases since we've gotten to conference play? Because I know I asked you that question, but I think it was maybe we were just starting conference play, and you were saying we were pretty even on home runs and stolen bases. Are we still running the bases okay?
Yeah, they're running the bases. I don't think it's a weak point for the team. I don't know if I'm ready to say that it's a strength. You got a couple of guys that can steal you a base, but it's not really the kind of team that opponents necessarily worry about that they're going to steal very much. Of course, first you got to get on base if you're going to steal. I think Holt could steal a few bases. Aloy seems to pick his right spots. But, you know, there was a base running issue at Alabama the other day, you know, and it had nothing to do with stealing a base. It was just about a situation where Jared Sprague-Lott should have scored from second on a single to left, and he didn't. It was just kind of a hesitation that caused him. And you do see something like that every once in a while with this team this year. Let's take a call from Greg in Farmington, then we got a break. What's up, Greg? How are you?
Hey, guys, enjoying listening to you, as always. Heard you mentioning Peyton Hillis. What's the latest update from his accident, his recovery and everything? And I am really hoping that he gets well, so we can get a sequel to his werewolf movie. And you were talking about different courts and everything. I would love to see Arkansas do the LED court that they could incorporate into the game opening stuff, introducing the players and everything. I think a couple of the NBA teams
have the LED court. I've seen those. As long as they're not flashing them during the game, it might be pretty cool. Hey, you already have a pregame introduction that involves fire shooting out of some device by the when they come out of the locker area. So it's, why not? Why not go with all the flash to everything you possibly can? But, you know, just try not to cause headaches. Please, no headaches. By the way, it doesn't look like there's much of an update on Hillis. I haven't seen anything written about his accident or anything about that since December. Looks like he was back in Cleveland as a special guest for a Browns game and was able to make it there. So it sounds to me like he is at least on... that he's been on the road to recovery and enough to where he could have been in Cleveland in December. So that's good news. Want to remind you about the Booyah Poppin' Pad Crasher. When you're looking to do some frog fishing in the near future, then the Booyah Poppin' Pad Crasher Jr. is the bait that you can use all summer on the Arkansas River. If the frog fishing is a favorite thing to do when you're summer fishing, the Poppin' Pad Crasher Jr. is the right size and has the right hook set up to catch them. You'll find it at learnet.com and tackle stores everywhere. It's the Booyah Poppin' Pad Crasher Jr. All right, quick break. I got to get out. Baseball is, looks like they're going to be loading their bags onto the bus pretty soon. Matt Jones and the C unit taking over, and Quinn Grovey at 1 o'clock, Brett Blint at 1:30, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Appreciate you. Matt and the C unit, woo, are back after this.
This is Halftime.
Strike three! Person gets it done, and the Nighthawks will celebrate a no-hitter for Cameron Person into the shallow outfield. Sellier makes the play. The Nighthawks win it. Eli Hutcherson comes in and saves the day for National Park College. Support Nighthawk Athletics at National Park College in Hot Springs. For more information, visit np.edu/athletics. Get 'em, Hawks.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Now, y'all know I love McDonald's for a quick meal, especially if I'm out and about with the boys and need something to eat. I like food, and y'all know I like saving money, too. Did you know that you can save money with deals in the McDonald's app every single day? Yeah, you heard that right. There's a deal every day in the app. So if you are an avid McDonald's goer like me, you'll find the best value for your buck by using the app. One of my favorite things about the app is the ability to order ahead. So let's say I'm on the road, just picked up Axel from school, and know I promised him some McDonald's fries and a sundae, but don't want to have to wait in that long line. I open up the app and just place my order there. Then I can walk in and pick up my order when it's ready, no wait needed, especially if I time it right. And I love that you can also get a bunch of deals in the app as well. I just logged in and can get a free Big Mac with a minimum purchase of $1. But check it every day because the deals are always changing. Plus, make sure to share your birthday so McDonald's can celebrate with you with something special. Dream drivers save money with the McDonald's app. Nope, you must opt into rewards.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.